Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious.
For his mercy endures forever.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
whose mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Without having seen him, we love him, and we believe in him,
receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Let us pray.
Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Alleluia. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Psalm chapter 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our first New Testament lesson comes to us from 1 Peter in chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second New Testament lesson is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. I'm glad you're here with us as we worship our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are celebrating a brand new sermon series called Caught in the Axe. And here's my definition of caught in the axe. Caught in the axe is about a follower of Jesus being seen by others and being a witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Let me repeat that once again. Caught in the Acts is about a follower of Jesus being seen by others and being a witness of the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So Easter is not a one-day event. Easter is 7 weeks in our New Testament lessons, but Easter is based upon the Old Testament gathering of what was called the Shavuot or Pentecost, the harvesting. So let me share with you 3 mandatory Old Testament gatherings. Passover, the deliverance and freedom of the children of Israel. Shavuot, or Pentecost, which is the harvest, the ingathering of the first fruits. And Tabernacles, which commemorates the desert wanderings for 40 years. So let me share with you, first of all, about the Feast of the Passover. It was on the 10th plague that God instituted the Feast of the Passover. And what was supposed to happen on that evening is that the children of Israel would kill their lamb, roast their lamb, and take some of the blood and put it on the door frame of their home, and the angel of death would pass over their home because of the blood on their door frame. The 10th plague was killing the firstborn male in every household and also their firstborn animal as well. So when we begin to look at all of this, the history of Passover is about God rescuing his people. And Easter is also the same thing, about God rescuing his people. Shavuot, or basically Pentecost, is tied with the giving of the 10 commandments at Mount Sinai, and is basically about the ingathering of the first grain. The book of Ruth basically is read at this feast, and it's about the kinsman redeemer saving people. So in the book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, redeems Ruth to become his wife. And so, too, our kinsman redeemer is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who has redeemed us to be his very bride. And when we look at the Feast of Tabernacles, this is also known as Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths. And this is usually celebrated in the fall, about mid-October. And it's a reminder of the 40 years in the desert and living in tent shelters. So Sukkot celebrates how God took care of his people in the desert during their time of need. So you can go on the internet, but I just pulled this off the internet as an example. If there were 2 to 3 million people in the children of Israel, this is what they would need for food each day. They would need 4 million pounds of food, which translates into 3 freight trains each a mile long. And they needed 8 million pounds of wood a day, many more freight trains as well. And they would need 11 million gallons of water a day, which translate into a freight train of tank cars 1,800 miles long, because it was not only for the people, but also for the animals as well. So remember when Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and he talked about setting up three booths, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So as I said earlier, this feast is normally celebrated in mid-October, and it was possibly in October when Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration. So let's talk about Pentecost today, the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit is caught in the acts of birthing the church. Jesus Christ is proclaimed as Lord and Messiah, and 5,000 are added to God's family. I would kind of call that a revival. So the day of Pentecost is the ingathering time, and there was a lot of ingathering of souls. You remember that Jesus said, "The field is white for harvest," and this was a harvest day. Jesus had promised, "Stay in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you," and that was 10 days after Jesus rose or ascended into heaven. So Jesus is not only the Lord of the Gentiles, but he's also the Messiah of the Jews. And this message of repentance is a full measure of law that they killed the Messiah. You may remember is that this is very early, only 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. So there are two groups of thoughts, those who believe that Jesus rose from the dead and those who believed it was fake news. But God is the ultimate judge. These people were cut. They were condemned because they killed God's Messiah. So when we look at all of this, God is the ultimate judge, and you and I fall short of God's perfection. Perhaps we are going through this COVID virus as our call to Pentecost, to be caught in the acts, because God is possibly judging the world of their sin and encouraging and enforcing that the church be the church, reaching out into our community, into our world with the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. And repentance is caught in the acts. From Acts chapter 2:36, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." In Acts 2:37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" The law, you and I killed Jesus. It was our sins that drove him to the cross. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. And it was our sins that watched Jesus die on the cross. This is still fresh with the Jews. And hopefully we have experienced a new Easter, something that we've never experienced before. And this time of reality is new for us just as well. What they heard was the proof of the resurrection. They said that this is these people being drunk, but no, how can you explain that everybody is hearing in their own language? This is not alcohol. This is not wine. This is proof positive that Jesus rose from the dead. And this is our proof as well as followers of Jesus, is that he is alive. He is our Messiah. He is our Lord. So when the people were cut to the heart, the Greek word for this basically talks about being stabbed like a dagger in the heart. It is a mortal wound. And our sins are mortal. They condemn us for eternity to be separated from God. But thanks be to God that he sends Jesus to take care of our mortal wound. And this verb basically is passive plural, which basically talks about we're all cut to the heart. Each and every one of us is condemned because of our sins. Possibly this is the fulfilling of Jeremiah 4:4, which reads, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath will flare up and burn like a fire because of the evil you have done." And you and I recognize that we live in a world of evil. Evil people are around us. And we are also evil in ourselves because we are selfish. We disobey the first commandment of loving God above loving yourself. And we don't do so good with the second part of that commandment, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, when we look at this, hopefully you and I are cut to the hearts just as well, because we are condemned without Jesus. So the repentance caught in the axe from Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live." And also from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The word of God, the law, the weight of the law is that you have to be perfect or you're damned. There is no choice. And there's not one of us who is perfect. Some of us may think we are, but just talk to somebody who knows you well. They will point out your imperfections. These words apply to us today as well. "Therefore, let all Israel," or "let all people be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Our sins sent Jesus to the cross. We are guilty of his death. And we are no different than the people that lived in Jesus' time. If you think that you wouldn't have been out there crying, "Crucify him," I will ask you this. How well do you love God? Most of us love him pretty well. And there were followers of Jesus, but they weren't in that crowd that was crying, "Crucify, crucify." You see, you and I deserve death and separation from the Father. But the Lord of God is rich in mercy. He has pardoned us of our sins by Jesus dying on the cross. Peter's answer to our dilemma and the dilemma of the people is the same. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." The Greek word basically means do a 180. Turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. You sinner, turn from your evil and repent. Your sins will be removed by God's promise. And that gift that you will receive is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only will your sins be forgiven, but you will be a follower of Jesus. You will be a disciple of Jesus. You will be one who will be caught in the acts of proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You might remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8. "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Your sins, my sins, have been removed as far as from the east is to the west." They are gone, and they are forgotten by God. And we have this baptismal promise as we are caught in the axe. "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom all the Lord our God will call." This gospel promise is in your baptism and my baptism. We are adopted as God's children. We are forgiven. We are freed from our sin. We all have been called by law and gospel because we are sinners. And sinners cannot save themselves. But it's by faith in Jesus Christ, the one who fulfilled the law for each and every one of us, that we have that free gift of salvation that Jesus has won for us on the cross and the empty tomb. This is God's promise for you and me today. We have been called to live a life that loves our neighbor and loves the Lord. We are called to be caught in the acts as a follower of Jesus, who witnessed his life, death, and resurrection. And we are called to be new witnesses. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. As we said, caught in the acts is being a follower of Jesus, in witness, word, and deed. And we're all different because one size does not fit all. And the good news is that we are different. We have different gifts and we have different interests, which allows us to witness to many people that God has placed into our life. And God has a purpose and a plan for you, as recorded in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the exact places where they should live. So let me see if I can illustrate this verse with an example told by Dr. Clarence Sexton. Early in the 1900s, there were two sisters. They were well up in years, in their mid to young 80s. And their names were Peggy and Christine Smith. They were too old to attend worship because one was blind and the other was humpback. But they were great prayer warriors. And they shared with their pastor is that God told them that there would be a revival in their church. And it started small because the ladies couldn't come to worship, is that some of the members of the congregation would gather in their home for prayer. And as time went on, the revival began. And this small church on the Isle of Lewis off the coast of Scotland, there was a young teenager who came to faith. His name was Donald Smith. Donald was a great help to Pastor Campbell. Donald led prayers for the pastor, and he did other assignments that the pastor gave him. Peggy and Christine Smith had a niece whose name was Mary Ann Smith McLeod, who moved to the United States in 1936. Mary Ann was the cousin of Donald Smith, the one who worked in the church. Well, the two aunts sent Mary Ann one of their Bibles that they used in the revival. And later Mary Ann met a young man, his name was Fred, and they were married. Later, they began to have children. Their first child was Fred Jr. Their second child was named after Mary, Mary Ann. Her third child was named Elizabeth. Her fourth child was named Robert. And her last child was named Donald. And when Donald was confirmed, his mom gave him this Bible from the revival. Today, that Bible resides in the White House, in the Oval Office. Donald's name is Donald Trump. So whether you agree or disagree with our president, God has placed him to be our president in this time and this place. We all have a pandemic, and God has chosen people to lead. This is God's choice for our country, and we are God's people. So what is God saying in this time of uncertainty? Should we be more selfish than we have been? Should we only look after our own kind and ignore those in need? What is God saying to the entire world? Is this a time for revival? Is this a time to be caught in the acts of being a follower of Jesus? Is this a time to be a prayer warrior praying for revival? Praying that we will reach people that we would never reach if we were still in this building. This is a time, in my opinion, to be people of prayer. Asking God to open windows and to open doors, to touch people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So would you join me in prayer as we close our message today? Most precious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And we pray for our elected leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for our Congress. We pray for our governor. We pray for our elected representatives here in Texas. And we also pray for our local representatives here in the Dallas and Tarrant County area. We pray, Heavenly Father, is help us to beat back this virus. We pray is that as we are going through this first Easter in a time of uncertainty, is to help us to trust in you and to trust in you alone. We pray, Lord, is just help our country, help our people, help your church throughout the world to be the witness to Jesus Christ, that we may be caught in the acts, sharing the love and the message of Jesus. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's children say, Amen. Let us now confess our faith in our risen Lord from the words of Holy Scripture, the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
At this time, we will gather our offerings. We thank you for being in worship with us this morning, and we pray is that God's message, God's music, God's word has been inspiring to you, and we'll pray that you will be caught in the acts this week, sharing the message of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, because we are Easter people. You may give online, and you should see a slide for that. You also can mail in your offerings. And we do say thank you for your support of this ministry, and thank you for your prayers. May God bless you this day. Most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for men and women who stand on the front line protecting us from this virus. We pray, Heavenly Father, please watch over these heroes and heroines who put their lives at risk to save ours. We pray for our elected leaders. Help us to listen to them. And we pray also, Lord, as begin to open up our country once again so that people can go back to work and have livelihoods, and that we can once again not be cooped up in our own homes. Lord, we thank you for the gift of helping us to see that we need new priorities, and you have given us this time as we are homebound. Lord, just help us to see the benefit of our family. Help us to love them. Help us to cherish them. Help us to say each and every moment that we have with a family member is a gift of God. And Lord, we pray for the church, not only our church, but all the churches throughout the world, that we would be a gift to other people, that we would love them because you have loved us, that we would show your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your fellowship to one another. We pray, Heavenly Father, in this time of uncertainty, that you will make our faith stronger. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day thanking you for the gifts of your mercy, thanking you for the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, help us this day to just see the beauty of nature, to see the beauty of our relationship with you, and the beauty of our relationship with others. Thank you for the gift of family and friends. Thank you for the gift of our country. Thank you for the gift that we live in Texas. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Phil Ressler. We pray as he is contemplating the call here to Peace Lutheran, that you would make it available for him and his wife to travel here in the very near future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Use us each and every day to be your servants. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many gifts that you have given us. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray this prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the praise and the might and the majesty forever and ever. Amen.